Hello, it's Wednesday, dudes. Hashtag your word Wednesday. Follow me at Koi Wire on Insta, Snapchat, and TikTok, and put your unique vocabulary word in the comment section of my most recent post, and we're going to choose a winner to work into tomorrow's show. I am so grateful to be here with you today. We begin with continued coverage of the economy. Yesterday, we brought you all of the news on Silicon Valley Bank. When the bank was shut down by regulators this week, it became the second biggest bank failure in history in the United States. Now, here's how it all happened. Last week, SVB announced that it suffered a $1.8 billion loss and that it urgently needed to raise more capital. Well, the news didn't go over well, and SVB ended up losing more than $160 billion. And as stock plummeted, the panicked customers created what's called a bank run, rushing to withdraw their assets. And well, with so many people trying to take all their money out at once, the bank couldn't keep up with demand and regulators were forced to shut it down. Silicon Valley Bank's customers withdrew $42 billion from their accounts in a 10-hour span on Thursday. Now think about this. That would be like $4.2 billion per hour or more than $1 million per second. No wonder the bank couldn't keep up. We'll hear more now on what happened from CNN business correspondent Christine Romans.
Don't look now, but there's something funny going on over there at the bank, George. I've never really seen one, but that's got all the earmarks of being a run.
The classic scene from It's a Wonderful Life dramatizes the panic involved in a run on the bank. It happens when there's a loss of confidence in the bank, and that leads to large withdrawals. The bank can't pay everyone who wants their money all at once, and it fails. During the Great Depression, thousands of banks failed, 9,000 to be exact, taking $7 billion worth of customers' assets with them. That's why the New Deal included laws to insure deposits and boost confidence in financial institutions. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the FDIC, was created in 1933 and today covers up to $250,000 per depositor at FDIC-insured banks. Actual bank failures still happen. There were a lot during the great financial crisis in 2008. But in recent years, just a handful every year, and none in 2021 and 2022. That streak broke in March of 2023. Silicon Valley Bank, a prominent lender to tech startups, collapsed after questions about its liquidity started piling up. That caused customers to start withdrawing their money, essentially sparking a run on the bank. When SVB couldn't raise enough capital to cover customer demand, regulators stepped in and took control of the bank. The danger with a bank run is that panic can spread to other banks. It's called contagion.
Day one, there were two people, and then four, and then 16. In 3 months, it's a billion. That's where we're headed.
So what starts as a problem at a single bank can quickly turn into a crisis for the entire system. That's what happened during the great financial crisis in 2008, and it's why the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank, the second largest U.S. bank failure of all time, has Wall Street on edge.
10-second trivia. In 1867, the U.S. bought what 600,000 square mile territory for less than 2 cents per acre? Louisiana, Alaska, Florida, or Texas? Now the largest state in the U.S., Alaska, is bigger than Texas, California, and Montana combined. And up next, we're headed to Alaska, where this week the Biden administration approved a controversial oil drilling project called the ConocoPhillips Willow Project. The move is making some climate advocates angry and could set the stage for a court challenge in the future. The project is a decades-long oil drilling venture in the National Petroleum Reserve on the North Shore of Alaska, which is owned by the federal government. The planned site holds up to 600 million barrels of oil. The approval is considered a victory for Alaska's government and a coalition of native tribes who feel the drilling venture is a much-needed new source of revenue and jobs for this remote region. But climate groups and some Alaska natives argue that the project will hurt the country's climate goals and pose health and environmental risks. We'll hear now from CNN national correspondent Renee Marsh, who has more.
At this point, the only way that this project can be stopped is if...
On TikTok and Instagram, calls for President Biden to stop Willow Project, an urgent call that's gone viral to block a controversial Alaska oil drilling project.
Please help stop Willow.
The video's racking up tens of millions of views, spurring more than a million letters to the White House and more than 3 million signatures to a Change.org petition.
In order to stop Willow, people need to know about Willow.
20-year-old Elise Joshi, a senior at the University of California, Berkeley, is one of the social media activists.
It will not just impact Alaska. It will not just impact this country. It will impact the world. But the amount of carbon emissions that it will emit, we will see an increase in frequency and intensity of natural disasters.
ConocoPhillips' Willow Project would be located in northwest Alaska on the National Petroleum Reserve, federal land roughly the size of Indiana. The project would tap as much as 600 million barrels of oil, but it would take years for it to make it to market. It's messy politics for President Biden, pitting his climate promises against the desire to produce energy at home and lower gas prices. Nagruk Hasharik's family has also lived in the region for generations. He supports the project. His nonprofit represents 24 Native communities, corporations, and local governments who say the project would be an economic boon and help the U.S. wean off of foreign oil.
The economics that a project like this would bring into the region, mainly to the North Slope borough in the form of taxes, to help provide and maintain first world conditions.
Let's head on over to North Carolina, where there is some heated competition at the halftime of a Tar Heels basketball game, a race called Diapers to Dorms Dash. Adorable babies crawling towards their parents waiting at the finish line for a chance at winning $529 for their education fund. Bring it on, baby. Our Jeannie Mose is on the call.
It was a baby race that had pulses racing. Parents were psyched.
Hi, Lila.
Babies were wide-eyed.
Crawl, babies, crawl.
And they're off. It was halftime at a University of North Carolina basketball game. Lila instantly took the lead, continued towards someone else's mom instead of her dad.
But she's going to another parent. Lila's going to a different house.
Lila was so, so stinking cute.
And that's coming from one of Lila's rivals. Lila made it just inches from the finish, but stopped dead, despite pleas from the announcer.
Lila, please! Please just touch it!
Another contestant made his move to pass Lila, then plopped down, even bopped a bit, and finally turned the wrong way.
No! No!
No wonder some considered this the most intense baby race ever. And then Lila did the unthinkable.
No! No!
And just as she reversed course, a dark horse entered the fray.
Is she a fast crawler?
Well, funny enough, is she only started crawling maybe a week and a half before that baby race.
9-month-old Brexley Denick's strategy was to start slow. So slow, her dad had to throw his watch down the court in hope she'd follow. It worked. And once Brexley got going...
She just doesn't give up, which is great. And I hope she can keep doing that for the rest of her life.
To lure her over the finish, Brexley's mom did what most of the other parents tried, waving the phone. All that crawling earned the winner a $529 check for her future education fund. But this was itself an education on how we're all doomed to end up on our knees looking for our phones the rest of our lives.
All right. Now, if those babies refuse a nap after that, are they resisting arrest? Remember to submit your vocab words for hashtag Your Word Wednesday. Last week's word was gregarious, meaning sociable. Now to my favorite part of the day. For today's special shout out, we are traveling all the way to Africa, showing some love to West Nairobi School in Nairobi, Kenya. We see you. We hope you and everyone watching around the world have a wonderful one. We are so grateful to be able to learn with so many people from all over the world. Thanks for subscribing and commenting on our CNN 10 YouTube page to submit your school for a shout out. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.